Welcome to the podcast of Selmore Baptist Church in Ozark, Missouri. To learn more about our church, please visit selmorebaptist.com. And now, here's the sermon.
And the Lord of Lords that we sang about, I want you to understand, it'll tell you how to do that in clear words. So we go back to the text that if you confess, I'm in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now listen to me. Listen, I want you to understand that the word of God to this church today is be saved. That is to say, there may be a person here, there may be someone watching online, and the word is be saved. Now, for all of you that would say, I was saved a long time ago, preacher, I want to tell you something. I'm designing this series to give you a simple tool to talk to somebody else about salvation. Before I'm through next Sunday, I'll tell you and bring with me probably some resources for that purpose. And you've got some already here, as we have heard. But I want you to know, every Christian in this room will be able to remember, God made, we strayed, Jesus paid, be saved, and then what I'm going to share with you next Sunday. So it has an equipping dimension to it. But this morning my focus is upon this matter of being saved. And Paul has spoken to that and spoken to that repeatedly. Be saved. And I would say to you, and I'd say to myself, preacher, how is this possible? How can one who is lost be found? How can someone who is dead be alive? How can there be a new creation in Christ Jesus? How can it happen? And we don't have to wonder. But before I tell you how it happens, Paul tells us how it doesn't happen. Your Bible's still open? I want you to see this for yourself. In this passage of Scripture, I want you to see what he says in verse 2. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So just make this mental note in your mind. When it comes to being saved, zeal in and of itself does not make me right with God. I can be very zealous about a belief system, about a way to live, and it can be absolutely false. And that zeal will get me nowhere. And even if I'm believing in the one true God, but somehow I think it is my zeal that makes me saved, that is a lie from the pit of hell and it smells like smoke. We are not saved by our zeal. We're saved by our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose on the third day. Zeal does not give me a personal relationship with Christ. Zeal does not give me eternal life. If it were enough, the world will be filled with people right with God, because so many people in our world have so much zeal, but it's not according to knowledge, not according to the book. And zeal in and of itself does not make us right with God. The preacher in Proverbs says it like this: there is a way that seems right. Are you listening? There is a way that seems right unto man or unto a person, and the end is the way of death. Thinking you're right doesn't make you right. Living out the reality of what Jesus did for you and trusting in that will. We'll come to that in a moment. So the first thing that won't work, be listening to me now. Young person, be listening to me. What won't work is zeal in and of itself, because it does not make me right with God. Back to the text. Let me show you another thing that won't work. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Seeking to establish my own righteousness does not make me right with God. Can I say it again? Seeking to establish my own righteousness does not make me right with God. And this is important because we live in a day in which probably the greatest enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ is moralism. Moralism says, if I just do my best, if I live a decent life, if I don't do anything really bad, if I don't drink or chew or run around with girls who do, it doesn't say that. I just do that and that. But it's moralism. It means I can be good enough to get to heaven. And I stand before you to say, that's not true. No one is good enough except Jesus Christ, and the only way to heaven is through Him. So just be sure you know. You can be very zealous. You can be filled with enthusiasm for some system of thought. But that in and of itself will never save you. And seeking to establish your own righteousness will not save you. So how can a sinner be right with a God who is holy? And here's the key, and it's in verse 3. It says, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Now, you got to explain just a little bit what that means. It means He wants me to know that my so-called righteousness is like filthy rags. It will never be enough. But there is a righteousness that can be mine applied to me and applied to me because of the work of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness is forever sufficient. Amen. Forever sufficient. Paul in Philippians said these words. He said, not having my own righteousness. Philippians 3:9, as a matter of fact. Not having my own righteousness. Listen, church. Your own righteousness will not do. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. There is a righteousness that every person in this room and every person under the sound of my voice can have, but it must be on God's terms. It is a righteousness given to us the moment we are brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His finished work at Calvary. It is not earned by good works. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast. There's no room for boasting here, my friend. And the righteousness that we need is the righteousness which is from God through faith. How can we be saved? Now, listen. Any church that doesn't answer that question according to the Word of God is committing spiritual malpractice. We got to know the answer here. How can one be saved? And with this text open before you, you'll see it. I'm going to just summarize how one is saved. Ready? Number one, someone shares with us the good news of Jesus Christ. You understand? That has to happen. It's a verse 14, by the way, if you're looking in your Bible. Somebody's got to say the word. It doesn't have to be a formal preacher. It has to be someone who declares the truth of God's word to your heart. Somebody has to tell you about Jesus Christ, who He is, what He did, and how you can have the benefits. You got to hear. Now, for everyone in this room, I'm going to tell you right now, you are accountable for what you've already heard today. You cannot stand before Jesus and say, nobody ever told me. No, you've got to hear. And you've got to respond to that. Somebody shares with you the good news that God's Son left heaven's glory and came to a sin-infested world. That He lived in perfect obedience to God the Father. He died on the cross for our sins outside the walls of Jerusalem. Buried in a borrowed tomb. Rose from the dead. Seen alive by over 500 people. Ascended to heaven. Sent the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then began His intercessory work in heaven. And someday that same Jesus will come again. As they saw Him go, Jesus is coming again. That's the word. That's the gospel. People have to hear the greatest story ever told. And thank God If you're a Christian, somebody told you. Somebody told you about Jesus. Once in a while, I'll cross paths with someone and they did not point to any particular person. They pointed to being in a motel room and finding a Gideon Bible. And in that Gideon Bible, finding Jesus. Or being somewhere and seeing Dr. Billy Graham on the screen, coming to faith in Christ through that. No matter how it is, somebody has to bear the good news of Jesus Christ. So you say, Pastor, how can I be saved? Listen to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Number two, telling you how to be saved. More than that, I think Paul tells us. Listen to this. God takes the Word and through the Holy Spirit convicts us. Are you listening? God, the Holy Spirit, takes the Word and convicts us. Jesus said it like this. When the Holy Spirit has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. John 16, 18 or 8 through 11. So here's what's happening. The Holy Spirit takes the Word and convicts us. And as the Spirit of God takes the Word and convicts us, listen to this, God Himself draws us. No one can come to Jesus unless God draws them. And so God draws us to Jesus Christ. And what a great and gracious God we have. It is God's goodness that brings us to repentance. And by the way, I want you to know, I don't think repentance is a human work. I don't think faith is a human work. I think repentance is when I look to heaven and say, I can't. Does that sound like a work to you? I don't think so. I look to heaven and I say, I can't. I can't save myself. And then I look to Jesus on the cross and say, and I say this, He can. I can't. He can. I can't is repentance. He can is faith. That's what I'm calling you today. When I say be saved, that's the way we are saved. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and convicts us. Thank God for the power of the gospel and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I think you have to have both. I believe the Spirit and the Word come together to bear fruit, life, if you will, in us. Number three, we believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's a mystery, isn't it? How does someone who doesn't believe come to believe? Answered by the grace of God, of course. I mean, He opens our mind. He shines the light from heaven, just like He said on creation day, let there be light. On August the 15th in 1962, He looked at a freckle-faced boy and He said, let there be light. And I saw what I could not see apart from Jesus Christ and God's work in me. And so I want you to know, we believe in our hearts. What do we believe? That God raised Jesus from the dead. This is not a side issue, friends. If anyone only has hope in this life, they are of all men most miserable or pitiable. No, the resurrection's at the center, isn't it? I mean, the cross is there, but it's the cross event, death, burial, resurrection. Jesus paid on the cross, and on Sunday morning, God said, sufficient, that's enough. And that resurrection sealed our salvation. We believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouths, Jesus is Lord. That makes me happy, by the way. It's true, isn't it? I'm going to say it again. It's true, isn't it? Yes. Of course it is. That's how we come to Christ. Oh, you could teach a parrot to say Jesus is Lord. We're not talking about that. We're talking about someone who is brought by the goodness and grace of God to the place that they see that Jesus is who He says He is and did what He said He did and will do what He says He will do. We believe that God raised Him from the dead. And we believe in our hearts that He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So what happens in salvation? Somebody tells us about Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit takes the Word and convicts us. And then we believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. And we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord. And finally, and this is the last one, we rest assured that we are His. Why? Because whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Aren't you glad for the simplicity of verse 13? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you think, man, I have heard about Jesus. I feel convicted that I fall short of the glory of God. I know that I need a Savior. I know that He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe in my heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. I'm willing to say Jesus is Lord. But what if I come and He rejects me? Ain't gonna happen. Not gonna happen. Why? Because He promised. He promised, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Rest assured that you are indeed a child of God. So let me say it again. Be saved. Be saved. I started out life in Dry Holler. Dry Holler runs into Bull Creek. Bull Creek runs into Lake Taneycomo. I was in Christian County, but just barely. And I was the ninth child of my mama and my dad. The first two died as small, small children. And then there were seven more of us. I was raised in the New Haven General Baptist Church down in Dry Holler before they moved up on Chestnut Ridge. And I heard about Jesus. Thank the Lord. And as I grew older, I saw people and heard people. They prayed out loud. They prayed out loud all at the same time. Sometimes I'd hear my name in the prayer. Not only that, if you're living with your mom and dad and seven kids in a house and there's one bedroom, you hear everything. Can I say here an amen on that? And my brother and I lived, we slept we're the two youngest. We slept in the bedroom with mom and dad until my oldest brother, Bob, finally moved out of the chicken house, and then we made a bachelor's pad there and moved up there. But in all of those years, heard my praying mama and my praying dad pray over me. I knew about Jesus. I knew about Mary. I knew about Joseph. I knew about heaven. I knew about hell. Knew all of that. I knew all of that and knew it well. But you know what? It didn't really mean much to me till one day. And one day, the Holy Spirit convicted me that I was a lost boy. And even though I would not have said it at that in this way then, that I had strayed far from the Father, I was lost. I was 9 years old. And I was under conviction, real conviction, that heaviness that says something is wrong and I need Jesus. And yet I was stubborn. And I was so stubborn, I would go to the back pew like someone, well, no, you're not doing that, but I would go to the back pew, and there were no cushions on it, and I would lie down and pretend to be asleep at the invitation, because I was also in a church where people would come back to you and say, they call me Little Hosey, Little Hosey, don't you want to get saved? I was 9 years old, resisted the Spirit. 10 years old, resisted the Spirit. 11 years old, resisted the Spirit. But on August the 15th, 1962, at a youth camp, I came to an altar and gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I've never been ashamed and never been sorry. Why? Because I've been saved. I have been saved. And I want you to know, it's real. It's real. And if you're here and you cannot say, I've been saved, this is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. As I said, I'm going to come down front and we're going to sing. But this is not just some kind of perfunctory, traditional ending to the service. This is to give you, maybe you're 9 or 10 or 11 or 12. Maybe you're 90, because you don't get saved just because you get old. Whoever you are, if you're watching online, two words, be saved. God made, we strayed, Jesus paid, be saved. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, I'm so thankful for the gospel. It stirs in my heart even more than it did on that warm summer day. And I'm thankful, Father, that many, many, many thousands, indeed millions, have tried your word, tested it, found it to be true, and have given their heart, their life to Jesus Christ. Father, I wonder if someone here today is not ready to pray and to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins, to come into my heart, and to give me eternal life. Oh, Father, grant faith and repentance in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.